As we approach Christmas Eve and New Year's, we check in with our MP of Halifax, Andy Fillmore. So I've been covering stories for Dalhousie University this entire year, and I have to say, Andy, you're very active in engaging with the community. I almost see you in all these events. So out of all these initiatives that you've been participated in this past year, what would you say are some highlights?
Well, thanks first for the observation, Sarah. I love our city and I love the people in it, and I love all of the things that people are doing in our city. It really is a remarkable mixture of talents, science, the arts, kids, seniors, like it's everything. We have everything right here in Halifax, and the people are remarkable. And I love seeing you out there at those events too. So it's been a great year for Halifax. Coming through the pandemic, we had some wonderful successes. I'll give you a few examples. One is my office was able to secure $28 million to seed the construction of a new Mi'kmaq Native Friendship Center in downtown Halifax. This is an absolutely beautifully designed project on the site of the current Red Cross building. So that's going to start to happen sometime in the next year. We'll see changes to the site. We had a really good victory for Halifax as well. My team was able to position Halifax as the global headquarters for something called the NATO Defense Innovation Accelerator for the North Atlantic. So this is going to put Halifax on the international map for NATO, for peacekeeping, for those interested in peace, averting war and that kind of thing. So the idea is to position our local, speaking of all the amazing things that are happening here, to position our local defense network and technology sector in a way that can help position technology for peace in the future going forward. So this is a phenomenal thing for Halifax. So those are a couple of things. I mean, there are others. We were able to build about 140 units of rapid housing for people who are in housing risk. That was about $21 million. We invested many more millions of dollars into bike lanes in Halifax, and so on. So on it goes. It's quite a long list.
Indeed it is. What were some of the greatest challenges you find that your organization faced this year?
Yeah, well, look, no matter what we're all going through in our day to day, the thing that's always in the background is climate change and the need for climate action. So that continues to occupy a great deal of my own time and my thinking. Of course, we have to acknowledge that the pandemic came and sat on top of the climate crisis as well. Then along came a war, the illegal war against Ukraine, that caused inflation. I think we're seeing the balance between good and evil on social media is being lost to evil, if I could put it that way. You know, the misinformation and disinformation capacity for social media platforms is getting out of control. And all of those things, I think, have led to kind of a malaise. Like, I think people are a little agitated about the future, a little unsettled. And I think that as we go into 2023, a lot of that will alleviate, and we're going to start to see people getting back into the groove that we were all knocked out of, you know, by the pandemic. So I'm looking forward to that. So all of those have been a challenge in a kind of, I guess, intellectual way. Let's talk about project challenges, though. So one thing that I'm still trying to achieve in Halifax is the protection of the Northwest Arm from unnecessary infilling. That's been an issue that we're wrestling with. We still have a housing crisis. So I mentioned that we've been able to bring a significant number of units to Halifax, but we need way more. So the federal government has a role to play there, no question. I'm super excited about the role of Nova Scotia as an emerging global producer of green hydrogen. So, you know, I'll tell you just a short little story, Sarah. I had a meeting this summer with the Ukraine's ambassador to Canada, Yulia Kovalov is her name. And we talked about many things, but the main thing she wanted to talk about was Nova Scotia's potential as an exporter of green hydrogen to Europe to end the reliance on Putin's natural gas. This is like for Europe, this is the most important thing that they're thinking about right now, energy security. And Nova Scotia is becoming very quickly a place that can that can export green hydrogen, that is hydrogen produced by offshore wind turbines, to the European market to end the sort of despotic grip that Putin has on European energy. It can also input into our own local grid to green our grids here at home too. So that's a really big one. And I think like a sort of a big societal responsibility we have as Halifax continues to thrive and grow is we have to make sure that it thrives and grows for everybody. So it's got to be an inclusive prosperity. And my team and I are really keeping a close eye on that and some of the housing measures that I've mentioned. But other things like, we've established now, we're well on a path to $10 a day daycare. This is just an enormous transformative change for families. We've implemented rental benefits and supplements. We've implemented dental care for kids. Next year will be for seniors, and the year after that will be for everyone who needs it. We've introduced programs to get people off of their oil furnaces and replace them with heat pumps to insulate their homes and get efficient windows. So there's lots going on. There's always lots of things happening in an MP's office in a city like Halifax that is just such a bustling, busy place.
Going into 2023, what are some of your primary goals for the year ahead, like whether it's new policies or pieces of legislation we can expect?
Yeah, I guess I kind of already I leapt ahead maybe to some of those things. But, you know, things like the filling in the Northwest Arm, that's a very local issue that I'm keeping a very close eye on. I'm going to be keeping my fingers in the pot as to how the NATO installation rolls out. I had a long name for it, if you remember, the Defense Innovation Accelerator for the North Atlantic. There's an acronym for that, which is DIANA. So we'll call it DIANA. And I think Haligonians will be hearing more and more about DIANA as the idea lands and as the physical location is determined and people start to congregate in Halifax. We're going to see a lot of that happening. So that's still very much on my grid. Ongoing federal investments in Halifax. You know, we've got more housing investments. We've got more transit investments to make. We're going to be investing in a ferry from Bedford that will be a zero emission ferry that's going to help to alleviate that brutal congestion on the Bedford Highway during commute times. Those are some of the things. And as always, I turn to my constituents to tell me what else I should be focusing on. And my constituents are very communicative and do a good job of keeping issues front and center for me. And I expect that to continue.
Looking back on this year, were there any memorable days or defining moments for you in your office?
Yeah, I have to say the biggest day of the year for me was joining the incredible Friendship Center family at their temporary location down on Brunswick Street in the old Scotia Trademark and announcing with them the $28 million federal investment in their new home. That was one of the most profoundly moving moments in my nearly 8 years of doing this job. I don't think there was a dry eye in the house that day. It was really absolutely remarkable, the outpouring of gratitude from the community and also the really clear articulation of why it's so important. Like, those two things kind of converged on that day. And I just want to give a huge congratulations to the leadership at the Friendship Center, Pam Glode DeRoche and her team for articulating so remarkably well the need. It was a great victory to be able to land that funding for them. So that was probably the biggest day of the year. Oh, and also my daughter turned 16. That was a big one. That was a big milestone. Yeah.
That's great. And what are some of your New Year resolutions?
Oh my gosh, I've got to exercise more and all the things that we all need to do. Eat less, exercise more, try to get a little more sleep. That's a tough one. And always a goal is to spend more time with my daughter. That's a tough one when you spend half of the days of a year in another city. It's very hard on family, and it takes extra special efforts to keep those connections alive and putting that time in. So I renew my commitment to spend more time with my daughter.
So speaking of the holidays, now, careful, you might be judged for this next question. So what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, yeah. Listen, you can get in a lot of trouble with this answer. there are two that are near the top of the list. A Christmas Story, of course, is a fabulous standard from my youth. But the top of the list is National Lampoon Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase. I mean, you can't beat Chevy, and it has a particular resonance because your listeners will remember very likely that there are in-laws in that family called the Griswolds, and the Griswolds turn up in their big RV and park, sort of set up camp in the driveway. I have relatives in my family who we call the Griswolds for that very reason. So they have an RV and they turn up sometimes and they become your best friends for sometimes a long or a short time. So I'm going to be actually seeing my Griswolds over the Christmas holiday as well.
That sounds awesome. What are some other Christmas traditions that you and your family partake in?
Well, like many families these days, we're a bit scattered geographically. So I've got a sister who she and her family live in Freeport, Maine. I'm going to go down there for New Year's and reconnect with them. That'll be really nice. My father lives in Bayswater down on the South Shore. He's in his well into his 80s, approaching 90. So I'm going to go down and spend some time with him and help him out with a few things. I've got another sister up in Antigonish. I'm going to go and see them. Family in Berwick. So I'll be down in the Annapolis Valley on Boxing Day to see Pineal and Loeb, in fact, at Union Street in Berwick. So that's going to be fun. So nothing, no big travel. It's going to be very much local and car trips. And in between all of that, I'm renovating my house. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time on my hands and knees installing a new hardwood floor over the holidays as well.
Wow, these are some pretty long Christmas plans.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, what are some of your favorite places to check out in Halifax during the winter season?
Well, my favorite, and of course I'm biased because I used to work there, but it's the Halifax waterfront and the boardwalk. Before getting into politics, I was the VP of Planning and Development at what became Develop Nova Scotia. And the main purpose of Develop Nova Scotia was to look after the boardwalk and the waterfront, turn it into something vital and unique. And I think the change that's happened on that waterfront over the last 10 years, the addition of Queen's Mark and then the new Salt Yard vendors, the concert and performance spaces, the lights, the seasonal displays, the volleyball courts, like it just goes on and on. That's my favorite spot to be. And there is the Evergreen Festival, which is happening in December, which will help to bring people down to the waterfront with lights and vendors and that kind of thing. Other than that, shopping local for holiday gifts, eating in the local restaurants, and just being present and enjoying the time, not in Ottawa, but in Halifax. So that's my big goal.
Now, this question, lessons learned from your MP to Dalhousie students. What is something that you've learned this year that you would like to pass on with us?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. I'll share a little story that might illustrate this one. You know, it wasn't too long ago that we announced a climate crisis in the House of Commons. And as I sat down in the House that day to enter the debate, this is something I feel very passionate about and tied to. The opposition across the aisle opened up their laptops. And so, you know, as you do when you sit in the House of Commons, and when they open them up, you can see the tops of their laptops. And many of them had put these stickers, I heart oil and gas, on the tops of their laptops. And for a moment there, I was like, well, how can we be starting a debate in the House about whether or not there's a climate crisis? And this is the opening move. But the thing that I learned, I think, through that is that in that chamber, there are 338 MPs who represent literally every person living in this country and every square inch of every community. It's a beautiful, complicated, terrible jigsaw. You know, it can be really tough to navigate. But as I listened to the folks across the aisle, I began to like understand on a deep level that, you know, while the existential threat that I think that most Nova Scotians feel around climate change is the fact that the climate is changing and the sea levels are rising, the existential threat for a lot of Canadians is that if, you know, when we shut down the production of oil out west, that their threat is we're not going to be able to pay the mortgage, we're not going to be able to put food on the table or pay the kids' tuition. So the people sent to Ottawa to represent that perspective must represent that as vigorously as I represent the views of my constituents, which is that, you know, we need to keep carbon in the ground and we need to switch to renewables this yesterday. So that my big learning is a reminder that Canada's big, it's got different perspectives. And we here in the House of Commons, we have to have respect for everybody's view and find ways to work together and not just go at it like we're in a boxing match. That's not productive.
I know the climate action plan was just released a few days ago. Do you maybe just want to briefly go over that and key highlights from it?
Well, I mean, we have to keep the big goal in mind, which is net zero by 2050. And every decision in every department of government right now, that's the first box that has to be checked. How is that helping us get to our net zero goals? So it's going to the climate action plan is going to impact across the organization. But for me, the really big piece is how does it empower every Canadian to play a role in the battle, in the war against climate change? Because that's what has to happen. So the way it does those things is it provides these grants for getting your oil furnace out of your home or converting the apartment building you live in from oil to natural gas and heat pumps. So we're putting a lot of effort into finding ways to help Canadians, to make it easier for Canadians to make the choices in their lives that will have an immediate downward impact on emissions. So energy efficient housing is one, but big investments in the electrification of public transit fleets. So we were able to get a significant amount of money for Halifax last year, which meant that rather than buying about 200 diesel buses, which was their first thought, we, with the federal funding that we could bring, we were able to deflect that. And instead, they're now investing in electric buses. So when people ride the bus now, they're going to be doing their part for climate change. So those are the kinds of pieces that I think are really important. Government can, we can build buildings differently and we can invest in green energy sources. And those are important things to do, like with the green hydrogen. But it's like to scale this effort, to bring it to the scale that it's going to have an impact to reach those net zero goals by 2050, everybody has to be doing things. And so that's the part of the climate action plan that I like.
That's Andy Fillmore. Is there anything else you would like to add for Dalhousie audiences listening to this?
Well, as a proud Dal alum, I want to wish every student and every staff member and every faculty member there a happy holidays and a warm and restful break. You make Halifax better, and the city is so proud of all that is accomplished at Dal. Great neighbors and great friends. Happy holidays to you all.